from New York City, it's the Gary Mann Show. And now, your host, Gary Mann.
I'm Gary Null, broadcasting video streaming live from our studios in New York City. I'd like to welcome you. Today, we will not be doing our normal programming, health and nutrition, environmental issues, taking calls, answering your issues, and then generally a guest or an investigative report. Instead, the entire hour is an investigative report, and it's not even over at the end of this hour. Later this evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Commentary Hour, I'll be doing two additional hours, and then next week, an additional 3 hours. This has been a long time coming. A little background. Over the past 30 years, my career is much longer than that, but I'm just saying the last 30 to 35 years, I've done over 5,000 lectures. I've written over 50 books. I've done over 50 award-winning documentaries. I have done counseling to tens of thousands of people. I've done over 100 retreats. And also I've done at least 200 original investigative reports, plus thousands of broadcasts. I've been busy. On a productive level, I've done as much as I humanly could. And all that was positive, trying to educate people, give them options, take them from intentional neglect to intentional awareness, whether it's vaccines or GMO foods, whether it's the dangers of low-level radiation or mammographies or living near Indian Point or the acidification of our ocean or the bleaching of the coral reefs or the extreme weather events. That's where I spent my time. I had a choice. The choice was I could turn around and challenge those people who had been attacking my work since I began my career. When I first began, I was challenging DDT and helped be a part of the movement that Rachel Carson started, and she was the first real environmentalist and started the environmental movement, but we banned DDT in 1972. So I had this discussion many times. Gary, why don't you stop and address the people who are attacking you, that you're unqualified? And I decided, no, I would not. Because once you start that, you're always on the defensive, and that's exactly where they want you. They don't want a person that they're attacking to be able to do the quality work that they are meant to be doing, and it's expected they would do. You divide a person, you divide their energy. But now it's time, not because of me, but because of hundreds of individuals, such as Cheryl Atkinson, the great reporter, formerly of CBS, one of the greatest brains in the world, Rupert Sheldrake, also Deepak Chopra, all the chiropractors, holistic physicians, people using traditional Chinese medicine, naturopathy, holistic dentistry, anyone advocating for something that is non-toxic and more natural, that helps the body prevent disease or heal disease, has been attacked. The primary purveyors of these attacks are one no longer practicing psychiatrist, Stephen Barrett, who started a Quack Watch organization, and then the most current incarnation of these defenders of the orthodoxy is Wikipedia. And it was only when I realized how many people are being attacked, but unfortunately, unlike myself, they don't have a public forum. When they're attacked and they have no opportunity to correct the assault, they can't say, but that's not true, and provide corrections, because Wikipedia has decided that whoever it doesn't like, whoever it is targeting for character assassination, there is no recourse. And then they laugh by saying, you can't sue us. We'll see. But what I do know is that if we don't now turn around and challenge all of these different public access forums, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and most importantly, believe it or not, is Wikipedia, because more people go to Wikipedia to get their information on issues. So if you have cancer and you've tried everything orthodoxy has to offer, chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and it hasn't worked, and now it comes back, as it frequently will, well, you're going to go to somewhere else. So let's say you heard that maybe there's a natural approach, maybe stem cell therapy, maybe ozone therapy, maybe intravenous vitamin therapy, and you look on Wikipedia, it's going to denounce it. It's going to say there's no truth to it. Now, that's the same for anyone seeking a natural approach. So then the people may die because they didn't know there was another way. So today, I'm going to take on Wikipedia and Jimmy Wales and the skeptics. And I'm going to do it in a very positive way. I'm going to do it by taking what they attack me for and has been used by different groups within the pharmaceutical industry as a way of trying to keep me from having credibility. And that's by calling me an AIDS denialist. And if you look at the terms they're using, it means someone who denies that HIV exists or denies that AIDS is real. And therefore, no publisher will want to publish you. People won't want to taint themselves by someone who has that label. We have done everything within our legal and realistic means to try to correct these wrong statements. It has not worked. Hundreds of times people have tried to make corrections. None have been allowed. So I'm going to show today to the whole world community, it's going to take 6 hours, just 1 hour today, and then 2 hours tonight, that not only am I not an AIDS denier or an HIV denier, but rather I alone have cured more people of AIDS, defining illnesses, and reversed their HIV than any person in history. Now, that's a strong statement to say. Can I prove it? Yeah, I can prove it. Now, up to this point, I have not done this. But in this moment, I'm going to. And in this moment, I'm challenging Wikipedia. I'm challenging its nonprofit status. I'm challenging the Treasury Department and to reexamine what they've done. And we've created a lot of documentation. So for those who would not come on this program and debate me, I'm going to share with you some talking points. This is a PowerPoint presentation today. Now, we're going to start with the PowerPoint of that I've worked with in 35 years, 1,200 people who have been diagnosed with full-blown AIDS and concomitant illnesses. I've also written a textbook on this, and as we go through, you can then use this service to click on. You can see the textbook. You can see the documentary, 6 documentaries. A brand new documentary is airing tonight at 7 o'clock that no one in the world has seen, and it's not even finished. It's a work in progress. The last section of it on testimonials will be put in for next week. Now, what I'm going to do is share some highlights. First, I'm not alone. There was a time when I was the only activist public health official speaking out about the politicking and profiteering off AIDS. Does AIDS exist? You bet. Never been denied. Is HIV real? Yes, it is. Did I call them out for trying to make AZT the only drug being used to treat people with HIV and AIDS diagnosis? Yes, I did, and still would today. And I was proven right. 30 years after they began using AZT, no doctor could practice medicine today that to have their license revoked if they used the same amount, same potency, 1,500 to 1,600 milligrams per day that was used then. It was killing people. Did they acknowledge that? No, they did not. But we did. I used a natural and holistic protocols. I held a press conference that you'll see in a moment. But I want you to hear from the real people. This is their actual statements as a matter of record. Then you're going to see the medical team that I work with. I had a whole team of board-certified medical doctors and nutritionists and people that were there every day at the Tri-State Healing Center, 7 days a week. And I didn't charge one of those patients a single penny. But they got better, and some reversed their AIDS. So to the New York Times, and to all the people who could have known, should have known that this work was going on, you were invited. The whole world of journalism was invited. No one chose to come. What proof do I have that they were invited? You're going to see it. Now, what was interesting is that there were people who did come. Stokely Carmichael, Isaac Hayes, and others within Arthur Ashe came many times and spoke with people, journalists, but black journalists. Two-time Emmy Award-winning reporter came over, Tony Brown of Tony Brown's Journal, actually had me on multiple times, many times. You're going to see some of those now. Another press conference that you're going to, next week you'll see the whole press conference, 2.5 hours long, where all these doctors, all these scientists, all these persons with full-blown AIDS and their medical records and their medical doctors all were there. And you will see that we sent out 3 invitations by 2 of the largest PR firms in New York. Not a single member of the media came. Not a single AIDS group came. Not a single gay organization showed up. And yet 90% of the people there were gay people with AIDS and HIV infection who had reversed it or improved it and were sustaining it. Why didn't they want to know this? Because they want to control the market. They want to control the profits. They want to control the research. And we wanted a more open dialogue, freedom of choice. Now we're going to go to an audio clip from Luann Panesi. Luann was a very important part of the medical team. She had come from Long Island Jewish Hospital for 18 years. She was the head of nursing, and she had deep responsibilities. And when she was cured of her own illnesses through protocols I gave her at the Tri-State Healing Center, including hepatitis B and herpes and cytomegalovirus and Epstein-Barr virus and other conditions, she then was paying attention while she was being treated to how well the people there for other conditions, including AIDS. And then she decided to come and start to work there full time, first as a volunteer, helping people. She would be the one that when blood chemistries were brought back in from the labs, she would sit down and go over those blood chemistries with the patients so they understood how they were doing, what their viral loads were. And it was very important. So here's her statements, uncoached and unrehearsed, about her experiences at the Tri-State Healing Center. Most importantly, listen, I haven't heard the piece, listen to see if she mentions seroconversions, meaning taking a person from HIV positive with AIDS-defining illnesses to HIV negative with no HIV in their body, because I was able to achieve that with at least 8 patients.
I met Gary Null at an expo, and I had been suffering with some chronic illnesses myself, and one became life-threatening. I had hepatitis and chronic fatigue syndrome. I had severe yeast because I had acne. There's a number of different things. And then I was diagnosed with precancerous breast cells that were turning cancerous. So because I ran the adult medical units, medicine, oncology, geriatrics, hematology, and neurology, I knew the game, and the game is, for every hammer, you look for a nail. So anytime someone had a symptom, the solution is typically going to be the pharmaceutical model. So we give you a synthetic drug for every symptom you have, and we keep loading you up until your body can't handle all these synthetic drugs anymore, and then you kind of go into hospice. So I didn't want to go that route. And when I met Gary at this expo, I was interested in what he was doing. He invited me to come to the Tri-State Healing Center in New York City. So I went, and I began to get my treatments there. And while I was there, I noticed a number of people coming in, getting their intravenous therapies, and each week they looked better and better and better. I was intrigued by this. And I asked Gary, being a nurse administrator, if I could look at some of these medical records. There was one gentleman there, his name was Louis. And Louis came in with AIDS. And each week, again, he started getting stronger and healthier and feeling better. This was completely out of character for what I've seen when people are diagnosed with AIDS. And after several months, he actually seroconverted, and he completely reversed AIDS. I needed to know what was going on here. I've never seen anything like this in my career. See, in conventional medicine, when you're diagnosed with AIDS or cancer or any other illness that's life-threatening like that, we want you to be afraid. so that you just do whatever we say. And I didn't find these people were afraid. It was not a fear-based system that I was engaging in at the Tri-State Healing Center. Instead, it was something that was very empowering. These people were managing their diet. They were all on plant-based diets. They were taking herbs that detox the liver, like yellow dock and burdock, and immune-enhancing herbs and supplements and minerals. They were putting things into their body, and these people were excited, and they were very optimistic and very hopeful, which was a completely new picture for me with someone who had AIDS. So I asked to be involved with some of the therapies. I wanted to see what they were doing. They were receiving immune augmentation through very, very high doses of intravenous vitamin C. And I watched these people's lab counts improve significantly over time. And then I saw them doing some catabolic things like biooxidative therapy. And of course, viruses cannot live in a high oxygen environment. So when you flood the body with oxygen like biooxidative therapy, you're killing off these viruses in huge proportions. They were integrating green vegetable juices every single day, some 7, 8, 9, 10 green juices a day to detoxify the liver and oxygenate the body and give you mental clarity. It was a completely new ball game for me. And had I not seen the lab results with my own eyes, I probably would not have believed that something like this was possible. So I studied and I watched and I saw no less, in the time that I was there, I saw no less than 8 people completely reverse AIDS. I had never seen this in the medical community in the hospital. In fact, I was so intrigued by this entire process that I ended up leaving my role as nurse administrator in adult medicine, and I went on to help the Tri-State Healing Center. And not only did I see patients with AIDS seroconvert, I saw people with many viruses, from HIV to herpes, chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr, Coxsackie virus, mycoplasma. I saw all these people seroconverting and getting happier and healthier. And again, it was an empowerment model. It wasn't a fear-based model, where suddenly you're no one unless the physician gives you a drug and you're doing whatever the doctor says. The physicians there were a different breed. And having Gary Null's support and all of his input in nutrition and public health and behavioral sciences really helped people to integrate a truly holistic protocol into their lives as they were helping themselves to heal their bodies. It's a completely different model. It's an empowerment model. I believe that the model that Gary Null used is just earth-shattering, and it's paradigm-changing. And it's no wonder that our medical system is not interested in hearing about this, because can they make money from it? Can they increase their power as a corporation? I don't think so. In fact, when Gary had a press conference to show all these people who reversed AIDS, no one showed up. Why? Because the media is owned 80% by the FDA and the AMA. Boy, did that reveal a lot to me.
Now I want to show you the people I work with. We're going to go now to Bill McCurry. And Bill McCurry was a 2-time Emmy Award-winning reporter. Just a little background. Before I went on McCurry, McCurry had visited, and we, with the patient's permission, we showed him the medical records. So he saw all the medical records, all the blood work up, and now I'm in his studio, and he has the medical records there. But more importantly, he has a couple that I work with there. Here's that interview.
We get to our guests today. We'll call them Jack and Joan because they do not want to be identified. And we're going to talk to them about their conditions, and then maybe you can tell us what's being done to help them. To our guests, who are in silhouette, Jack and Joan, when did you discover that you were HIV positive?
I would say about a year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm.
And I might point out that you're married.
Yes.
Both married.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what led to that discovery?
Well, for a while, I was feeling sick. At one time, I was using recreational drugs for a while. And for a while, I started feeling myself really physically tired, lost of weight. I didn't have much energy. And I figured maybe because of my lifestyle in the past, I decided to take the test and to find out that I was positive.
Mm-hmm. And did your wife decide to do the same thing? Did you tell her you were positive and then she went and took the same test?
Yes, I found out first, and when I found out I was positive, I told my wife to get tested because I had the fear that she was positive.
Now, how long ago was this?
This was about...
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. Okay, and you started taking what kind of treatment?
I had went to a doctor, and they prescribed AZT. And I was on AZT for approximately 6 weeks, and I didn't feel much of a change. In fact, I was still tired. I still had the weight loss. I was hearing a lot of negative things about it, as well as feeling negative things about it. And I had attended a seminar and decided to get off the AZT, and I took a nutritional route. And I just made a big change in my diet, big change in my lifestyle. I had cut out a lot of things, and it seemed to help a lot. I started feeling a lot better.
Now, what's the prognosis for both of you today?
Well, I just want to say that I started out, you know, the first thing they tell you to do is to have your cell count taken, and I went from a 600, which is below normal, to 1,000, which is a normal cell count for anyone who is even not HIV, in, I guess, you know, less than a year. We went to Gary's seminar and cut out everything as far as anything that would be bad for you, sugar, caffeine, drinking, smoking. I even stay away from passive smoke. We just follow a very, very healthy diet, and I can honestly say I feel in well health. And my husband went from having like no T cells to a very positive test now that I guess Gary will explain to you that it's not active at all.
Yes, I think we'll turn to
the most important
yes,
thing here is this.
Work it here.
This is a test from Roach Biomedical Laboratories, which is a division of Hoffman Roach.
Turns
this
it
is
around a little bit.
This
more.
Is an official blood chemistry test. This shows that, and here's what's important, and this is why we're not talking about a test tube and stopping a virus in a test tube. These are live human beings. Their physician, using a holistic protocol, and this is a regular orthodox doctor, in a year, this person went from HIV positive, active virus, to P24 antigen test negative. Mm-hmm. HIV antibody positive. That means the HIV to have no antigen, 24, means you have no active HIV active in the body. All you have is the antibody. Now, that means this person has made substantial improvement. And this should be getting some attention because it shows, and this is not the only person. There are many people like this.
That would be the question. People say, well, sometimes, you know, these things happen in isolation, so to speak.
Let me find this. You have physicians watching right now. Any physician treating a patient with AZT and DDI and DDC, please send me any results where you have someone who tested positive using standard tests for HIV P24 antigen positive, who after using those therapies after a year tested negative and also has no active viral titers and no opportunistic disease. I'd be very interested in seeing that because I haven't found any, but I found many who've taken the different approach. Is that your experience?
Okay.
Yes. My experience is with tens of thousands of
people. All right. There's just one couple that I work with, both seroconverted. They seroconverted from positive to negative, but more importantly, every single disease in their body gone. All opportunistic infections gone. And they sustained that. And there was the medical records, there's the blood chemistries, and I was having people tested every 2 weeks. I created the protocols, or my protocols, the doctors implemented them, and we reversed it or improved it. Now we're going to go to Tony Brown's journal, because Tony Brown was on PBS, and there was months where Tony Brown had his office people come and interview people, confirm it, wanting to see all the laboratory tests, wanting to see the proof that the people had the disease, then they improved over a period of time and then had no disease, were HIV negative. Here's that interview. This is one of six interviews on Tony Brown's journal with six different people I work with that seroconverted.
There's been help. I brought two other people on your show 3 years ago. They're both alive and well and continue to remain seroconverted.
Now let's talk about this man. This man, you say, is the benefactor of your protocol.
Yes.
All right, now we're going to ask him his experience. Then I'd like for you to describe what the protocol was that helped him become converted.
Could I mention one thing?
Please.
I'm sure many people watching, including doctors, are saying this is nonsense. Well, first, I have no proprietary interest. I've never charged anyone a nickel. That is correct. In fact, in my entire career as a nutritionist and as a health educator, I've never charged a single patient one penny. I have nothing to sell them. I have nothing to make. In fact, when I give my time and energy, it's for free, so it's not proprietary. Secondly, I could just say that this person's been improved, and who's to know otherwise? But you have in your hands medical documents. He has had blood workup done every 6 months for 8 years. So we have before, during, and after blood workups showing from AIDS, not just HIV infection, from AIDS, and one guy who couldn't be here this morning, he's stuck in traffic, we just found out, and at some other time you might want to interview him, he had 22 different life-threatening illnesses. He had endocarditis, he had encephalitis, he had Kaposi's sarcoma, he had pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, he was in St. Vincent's Hospital near death on several occasions, and today he is completely healthy also. Now, you were with him, you know him, you've seen his records, I have his records, so I would only make statements about people that I have their medical records that are open for people, any
Well, I asked Al and you to bring medical records along today, so whatever statements are made, I would have evidence and presenting them to this audience that there was some type of paper trail, medical paper trail, in terms of what you're stating. Now, Al, you were diagnosed with what is called AIDS in 1989.
That's correct.
And tell us about yourself. Do you have any idea what caused your immune deficiency?
Yes. I was an intravenous drug user back in the early 80s. I must have made contact with the AIDS virus maybe probably 14 years ago. I stopped using drugs over 10 years ago, intravenous drugs.
Was this after you were diagnosed with AIDS?
A little before I was diagnosed, I stopped using drugs. Then 2 years after, I went for a doctor's checkup. Doctor advised me to take a HIV test because I had a swollen lymph node glands.
Swollen lymph?
Yes.
Lymph node?
Yes. Uh-huh. And also, I was losing some weight. I was getting weak. So I took the HIV test, and it turned out to be positive. So I panicked. I said, wow, I don't want to die. I'm very young.
How old were you?
I was like 32 years old. Anyway, I said, I don't want to die. So I started going to the doctors. And the doctor says, well, I took a blood test. My my T-cell count was at 800. So that's pretty good.
That's very good, T-cell count. 800.
Mm-hmm. So right away he says, take this. Well, we're going to give you a prescription of ACT. I said, but from what I gather, I think I'm pretty healthy still to take these toxic drugs that you're prescribing me. So I just started doing some research, and Dr. Noel was on the air one day. I was listening to him on 12 o'clock show, and he was talking about urine therapy. I mean, that's really nothing. It doesn't cost much. And I just put my ear on the show, and there was so much information he was giving out as far as alternative approaches to like AIDS and any other diseases we get.
How long did you stay on AZT?
Well, he did prescribe me the AZT drug, and I did take it for like a week or two.
So you didn't use it very long?
No, I took it for a week or two because I started getting sick off of it. I started getting like blurry vision, and I started, my body was starting to change. I felt something like taking over my system.
Did you get your CD4 count, your blood count, after you took the AZT?
No, this was before.
But after you did take it, did
yes.
you did your blood count,
yes,
did your count go down, CD4
yes,
count?
Yes, it did.
What did it go down to?
As a matter of fact, it went down to 600 then.
Went from 800
months.
To 600?
Yeah.
In a short
period of time. So I just didn't feel good. I was being drawn. So I put the drug and just put it in the garbage can. I just didn't want to take that.
Now, after you got with Dr. No, and you then got involved in his program using his protocol?
Yes.
Now, what happened to you health-wise after you got involved in his program?
Well, right after I started doing his protocol, my lymph nodes went down. Now, they're completely normal. They're down. I don't feel anything. I had them like for years.
How long have they been down?
4 years.
4 years?
4 years, yeah.
And how long did it take after you started the program with Dr. No before they went down?
It took me about a good 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. I started like detoxifying my system, and I just improved my health. I gained weight, for one, and I feel great right now.
Now, these are medical records you brought with you today.
That's right. You have 12 copies of my medical records there.
What do these medical records prove?
Well, one is a PCR test. PCR test indicates the viral low level, HIV viral low level. It's negative.
What does that mean?
That means that there is no HIV virus in my system. It's out. They can't detect it in a blood test.
There are many tests that he's taken. It's not just one test. I ask individuals to test when they're at this level almost every 2 to 3 months for at least a year. And the reason I do this is because other physicians and public health officials should know that there's good science in the alternative perspective. And it may not be a therapy that they're familiar with because they're just not trained in it. But if the results are positive and you can document them and you have good medical blood workups, I mean, the blood workups are done at all the standard labs, and the physicians are all board certified physicians who are actually overseeing and administering the actual therapy, then either they say yes or no. But I went one step further. 2 years ago, I decided to get all the patients I could find in the country, not just ones I've helped, but any doctor's help. So I called over 600 physicians, and I asked them, do you have any patients that you've treated using alternative non-toxic therapies for AIDS? And many did. And I had a press conference in New York City. We had the scientists, the physicians, and the patients with their medical records, all of which had been pre-reviewed to make sure they met the criteria of having had AIDS, not just HIV infection, but AIDS, and had made major progress, not necessarily to the degree of this man, and others where they've actually seroconverted, meaning you cannot find, not only can you not find any HIV in his body now, you can't find antibodies.
Okay, now, again, those are two people on Tony Brown's journal, the medical records, the blood chemistries, not just one, but dozens, because I insisted that they have blood chemistry done on a biweekly basis when they were in the intensive protocols. And now I want to show you the press conference I was just referring to. Take a look there. What do you see the sign saying? It says AIDS is not a death sentence. Do you see that panel? There's Senator Patterson. He was New York State Senator at the time. Very, very articulate and very well understood the relationship between a faulty lifestyle and AIDS. There is several physicians, board-certified physicians, but then the second shot, you see those are doctors and the patients. Now, those were not all mine. 8 of them were, but the rest, over 100 doctors with their medical records, and the patients with their stories alive and well, and they all get up to that podium and they talk. That's 2.5 hours. That we're playing next week, the whole press conference, unedited, so people can see the voices. Now, what you don't see there is we had sent out 7,000 press releases to let people know that there were long-term survivors, including some that had seroconverted, that no one else at that point had, and we wanted the American media and the AIDS establishment to know about this. Not one single person came. Not one single person. Now, you see the gentleman on the right. You're going to hear from him in a moment because we're going to play another Tony Brown journal with that person on board. By the way, there is all day. I put public relations out on this one. This is the largest church I could find outside of St. John the Divine, which was busy. This one's up on the Upper West Side on Center Park West. We had over 1,400 people show up during a 12-hour discussion. And you see the people on stage, those are all doctors. I brought them in from around the world, from Italy, from Japan, the people using natural non-toxic therapies, the scientists, the physicians, and then patients. And they were all there. Not a single member of the media showed up. Not one. What were they afraid of? Here we were actually bringing doctors, scientists, and patients together to show you there was another alternative approach, and they didn't want to know that. But I did it, and I wanted you to see it. Now we got Tony Brown, the next person.
Scientist and health advocate, and Mr. Chuck DeMarco, an AIDS survivor. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's begin with you, Gary Null. You have had a press conference, and Mr. DeMarco has made some rather startling and astonishing revelations or allegations. What is he saying, and what impact does this have in terms of the AIDS treatment for AIDS, what we call AIDS?
Well, he has stated, and it's not something that is being alleged, it is proven, it is hard science, that he had advanced AIDS, near death, just months to live, massive infections in his lungs, all over his body, Kaposi sarcoma, lesions on his skin, high titers of the virus all throughout his body. And instead of being dead today, as most of the people taking AZT were, who were diagnosed at the same time he was diagnosed, by undergoing hyperthermia at the University of Rome, today he is alive and well and in complete remission. Now, in 2 more years, which will be 5 years from when he had this treatment, if he remains as healthy as he is now, he will be considered cured, which will be the first case of documented, proven cure of AIDS. Now, is it significant? Completely non-significant. It is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if there were 1 million Chuck DeMarcos. Why? Because at that press conference, I invited every major media figure in the United States. Every AIDS organization was invited. Every AIDS activist organization was invited. Every foundation that claims that they're using their money and interest in AIDS research and helping were invited. 2 of the best PR firms were hired. Press releases were sent out. A follow-up fax was sent. Follow-up phone calls were sent. We had, what you didn't mention, we had one politician who was an AIDS activist politician, Senator Patterson from New York. We had a whole panel of physicians, all highly credentialed physicians, orthodox physicians. The entire room was filled, almost every seat, with persons who had had AIDS and who today did not have AIDS. They were free of AIDS. Now, I thought, in my naivety, how dumb I am, that maybe the New York Times or the Daily News or maybe one of the AIDS organizations would think, well, let's go take a look. They're saying that there is a successful series of treatments. I use the word treatments. There's no one treatment I think is better than any other. Hyperthermia, vitamin C drips, ozone treatment. All of these build the immune system naturally. They all have various efficacies, but they're all safe. I thought they'd want to come and challenge these individuals, these persons who had AIDS who don't now don't. Challenge the doctors. Look at the medical records. The medical records were there. Thousands and thousands of scientific studies to back up the medical treatments were there from peer-reviewed journals. Thousands. and all these persons they could have interviewed. I planned this for over 6 months. I worked 2 years in investigating each of the claims. As Chuck DeMarco will tell you, I didn't accept his word that he had been sexually treated. I put him through an acid test because aside from being a scientist and a public health advocate, I'm also an award-winning investigative reporter. And I put him through a grilling you can't believe. And it wasn't pleasant. I thought at times he was just going to tell me to forget it. He didn't need my hassling. And because I didn't want to take someone before the American press who they're going to say, well, you never had AIDS to begin with. So yeah, you're treated successfully today. You never had a disease. Yes, here's your records. Here's the hospital records. Here's the medical records. I didn't want anyone to say, well, where's your proof? I wanted all the blood chemistries because I knew there's a man in Washington who runs the whole war on AIDS, who were now asking for a special investigation to see how much money he has in his bank account from supposedly a blind trust. We're going to see that. That's being investigated. I wanted this man to no longer, as he has, belittle and denounce Chuck DeMarco's treatment as if it's irrelevant. This man runs the whole game. I wanted this man to be able to say, all right, you showed me the evidence. I've torn it to pieces. By golly, you've got something here.
And Mr. DeMarco,
and not one member, here's the bottom line. Why I say it's irrelevant? Because if it were relevant, one member, the Village Voice, the New York Times, the sanctimonious, self-righteous individuals who hold themselves up to such high moral standards of fairness would have come, not one member of the media came.
All right, since
not
we are,
one.
Since we are
so
now.
So the next time someone from the media tells you that they're open and fair,
right,
then why weren't they at this press conference?
Well, if anybody says that, they don't work in the media. Number one, you are now on national television, so let's don't spend our time talking
right,
about
but
who's
I just
not
wanted
here.
The American public to know that.
I appreciate that because most people believe that it works the other way. You and I know differently. But I do want to get to the scientific information. When you contacted me about Mr. DeMarco, I told you the same thing you told him. And I said, I need evidence. I need to see that what you say is true. So, Mr. DeMarco, you've been kind enough to allow us to show your medical records on the screen. I would like for you now to tell us, there are three documents that we have. I'd like for you to explain the document to us and tell us what we're looking at.
All right, the first one is a test called P24 antigen, which measures the amount of viral activity in the blood. Prior to going through hyperthermia, I was P24 antigen positive. I was also culture positive for the HIV virus. I had active virus, so you could grow it out of my blood. I was also PCR positive, which is the test that determines whether you are infected with HIV as compared to being exposed, which is what an antibody test shows. Post-treatment, the first test that came back was the P24 antigen test. That went negative. That's the second document that you see. The third test...
It went negative after you began the therapy.
After I went through the therapy. In my case, it was a
one-shot deal.
Now,
what does it mean, negative and positive? Help the public understand.
Negative means that there's no longer activity, no longer viral activity occurring.
So the HIV virus was no longer active.
That's correct. It became dormant. Or it is... In my case now, I am free of it. I still have antibodies to it because there are, I think, a lot of researchers and activists and people should understand that antibodies are healthy and good for you. You want them. That's what your body uses to fight disease.
It's nature's vaccination, isn't
it? That is correct. But here we use it in a negative connotation by saying, well, if you have the HIV antibodies, now you're going to get sick and die. Wrong. The third thing, which is the most recent of my blood work, shows that my T cell count has come back up to normal. And that's the thing that determines just where your immune system is, your immunological status. I am within the normal range now for T cells.
When you started out, your T cell count, which used to be the marker for AIDS and is still one of the markers, I believe, what was your... When you began, before you began treatment, when you had full-blown AIDS, what was your T-cell count?
Well, according to Center for Disease Control standards, I was in the 200 range. Therefore, I had AIDS.
200 or below is designated as AIDS.
That's correct. Plus, I had herpes in the lung. I had KS lesions, which are Kaposi's sarcoma, in my mouth, down my throat, on my leg. I had been put out on disability in 1989 from high titers of cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, the herpes in the lung, which had gotten to the point where I was having trouble breathing. I was coughing to the point where I was coughing up blood. Nothing. Straight drugs of codeine could not stop the cough. I had lost weight. I was 30 pounds lighter than I am now. Now, 3 years later, it was March 2nd, 1991, I went through this therapy at the University of Rome in Italy. 3 years later, I am still viral free, no opportunistic infections whatsoever. So I've just celebrated a third anniversary, which is, I think, a major mark.
All right, now that's another person, and I work with Chuck also. Now we have a lot more, but I want to go to one, because I'm looking at the time, I want to go to one of the medical team, a very important person in the medical team, to let you hear what this person had to say.
It is rampant. Misstatements, poor science, and the general public has not been made aware of this. And I'm concerned about that. And even when a special investigator on ethics and science from the National Institutes of Health went in to do the investigation, her work was suppressed and she was told to keep quiet. And we shouldn't tolerate that, not when lives are at stake. I'm not opposed, nor are any of these panelists opposed, to using any drug that works. And we believe in a freedom of choice. That's what democracy should mean. Therefore, if AZT is what you should use, and that's what you and your physician suggest, fine. We have no problem with that. But we do have a problem, and a serious problem. That's what motivated this film and this press conference, to excluding everything else. And the methods in which they exclude things, I feel themselves must be investigated by an open and aggressive press.
That was a press conference at the Walter Reed Theater at Lincoln Center. And there was a whole scientific panel with me there. You heard me say, if you want to use AZT, use it. The HIV virus is real. AIDS are real. Now, mind you, we're going to have one more person now. That's all we have time for. We have a lot of people who are on film now, and we've collected our archives. Not a single member of the media came to that press conference except one person from Newsweek to interview Arthur Ashe, because Arthur had been visiting on a regular basis the Tri-State Healing Center and speaking with the people at AIDS who came in the evening because they liked their own support system, and was asking himself, after he looked at their records with their permission and spoke with them and spoke with the doctors, should he start the program? Unfortunately, he never started. But all the Walter Reed Theater was packed. There was standing room only, and not a member of the media reported on this press conference. And the people that I showed, it was called AIDS, the Real Heroes, 22 people who had advanced AIDS, all who were major states of recovery, and most of those I had been working with. No one talked about it. We have the film, and we have the press conference. That press conference also. Now we're going to finish up this segment of our program with a person who is on our medical support team and can verify what I've been saying.
And we had a conglomerate of many people coming into us. And at that time, AIDS was just coming about to, everybody was coming down with AIDS. And Gary had procedures and protocols that he was using that were extremely effective. Of course, not everybody would follow a difficult protocol, but those who did, and those who were determined to get off any kind of barbiturates or any kind of drugs that they might have been on, which was really important, because there was another doctor who was saying that part of AIDS was their immune system being compromised. And when their immune system is compromised, especially with any kind of opiates, so that there was a Dr. Bahari. And Dr. Bahari was in charge of anything in reference to with AIDS and everything in reference to any kind of opiates. So he came across with low-dose naltrexone. And low-dose naltrexone was incredible, used because anybody who, you could not possibly take any kind of drug with, you know, any kind of opiate with it. It would work negatively towards it. So that was fantastic. And so that was one aspect that really worked beautifully. And also it stopped the craving, and it was very good for your immune system as well. with Gary, what he did was change the person's diet completely, which was what I did. They stopped eating as much as the garbage that they were eating, the sugars and a lot of other things. Anything that would lower their immune system, we put them on green juicing, we put them on supplements, and they did remarkably well for those who followed. Not everybody would follow. Let's face it, not everybody is going to follow a protocol. But those people who did follow the protocol, and there were a few of them, that really were fantastic. They did ozone. They did vitamin C drips. We cleansed their system as much as possible. We did stress reduction. If they were put on low-dose naltrexone. They were put on many, many different things. And there are a few people that serum converted. But I can't say that everybody did, because if you take John Q. Public and you tell him that you have to change his diet completely, and he has to not make certain things that he loves and he's been eating all his life, he's not going to do it because it's too much of a change. Even because they can't equate a diet, because they've been eating it all their life, with sickness. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. So that they figured, oh, I've been eating all my life, this is not good.
So as we're running up to the end of this show, you heard again from her. Many people seroconverted. She was one of the medical staff that was there and witnessed it. She was reviewing their medical records. She was looking at the blood chemistries that would come in. In fact, I don't have time now, but I'll tell you a very interesting story about our first conversion and the disbelief. So we sent the blood back out to be retested, and it came back again negative. But all opportunistic infections were gone, 100% gone. So then we send the blood back out again, and again it came back. Six times we sent it out, and six times came back negative. And then we realized we had seroconverted the first person, and that was just the beginning. We had a lot of seroconversions, but those were only the ones who work with me on a daily basis, 6 days a week, 4 hours a day, 24 hours a week, for a small group of eight. All eight seroconverted. We have absolute proof of that. And tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to continue this and have more of the medical staff, more patients, more interviews to let you see the proof. So the next time you read that I'm an AIDS denialist, imagine what it feels like to be me, having cured the first people, reversed their health, got them back their health, thousands of people better because of it. Not a single person with AIDS defining illnesses, no matter how advanced, died and during the whole time of the Tri-State Healing Center. And then you're attacked. Well, you've heard my words. You've seen the press conference. I've written a textbook, the largest chapter on natural approaches to overcoming HIV and AIDS. So now these people are going to be given a chance to apologize, and if not, I can promise you litigation is starting on a massive scale immediately. Now I'm fighting back. Now let's see how smart these asses are who thought they could denigrate people, because unlike some of the other people they're denigrating, we have hard proof. But I wanted you to see it for yourself. I wanted you to see the politics that is involved in a given field. It can be cancer. It can be mental health. In this case, it's just AIDS, to show you then how they try to stop a voice from speaking the truth because of what they're afraid, and they're afraid, and they should be. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you for watching and listening. See you tonight, 7 o'clock. Oh, my luck is about to turn.